Into the Head Game podcast, powered by Mindful Athlete Training, where you grab an inside look into the heads and minds of the high performer. Learn what they do and how they think to help you take control of your own head game.
Welcome back to another episode of the Head Game, powered by Mindful Athlete Training. Today's guest is Jerome Mingubat, a real estate investor, agent, and entrepreneur. In addition to that, he is also a Callaway Golf Staff Pro. He shares his story of how his family's work ethic really pushed him to take risks and become successful in his field. He shares what it's like to be a real estate investor, what to look for, as well as the challenges that come as a golf pro. Enjoy another episode of The Head Game. So Jerome, welcome. Give us a little bit of background about you and how you got into the industry that you're in.
Yeah, thanks for having me. So just a little bit of background. I graduated from the University of Delaware in 2018. I graduated with an exercise science biomechanics degree, and I was a Spanish minor. And how did I get into real estate? Well, after I graduated college, the initial plan was to go to grad school. You know, I was thinking my doctorate of physical therapy. And the plan was to do that, you know, somewhere in Philly. But after graduating, I took a year off to work a little bit. And in that year off, I started to shadow my older brother, Francis. And, you know, he's the one that got me into the industry. And, you know, when he initially asked me, I told him no. I said, no, you know, I just spent this 4-year degree learning about, you know, exercise science and, you know, what really motivated me to join was I just wanted to try something new, and I didn't want this decision to haunt me later down the road. I didn't want to be, you know, 40, 50, 60 years old and think, what could my life have been like had I joined my older brother's real estate team? And for some background, our brother's 28 years old and he's one of the top real estate agents in the city. I think, you know, last year he sold like $40 million worth of real estate, which is tremendous feat for 28 years old. And he got started into the business after graduating from the University of Delaware in 2016. So that was my introduction. And along with that too, I was working at ATI Physical Therapy as an exercise technician. The environment was not exactly what I thought it was going to be like. It was just your typical 9-to-5 and people couldn't wait to clock out Friday, 5 p.m. And it was just a different environment. When I did my hours at University of Delaware, which is the number one ranked PT program, they had all this state-of-the-art equipment and working with top athletes. This is really high-tech stuff. But again, once I got into the environment, it was just completely different. And, you know, I just wanted to try something new that not a lot of people went into.
Jerome, when you say you didn't want to wake up when you were 50 or 60 years old and regret not doing something, very often I think a lot of people dream of those moments. They hear other people talk about them and there's some hesitation. There's concern. People are on average are a little bit more reserved, especially the younger that we are, to kind of reach for that proverbial brass ring. What do you think was the mental process you went through to kind of weigh your pros and cons to help you make that decision?
Yeah, what was that spark? What was it like? You were like, I'm trying to decide here.
So I did, you know, after shadowing my older brother, coming back, working my job, I did make a pros and cons list of, you know, what are the benefits to doing this? And, you know, it was terrifying because, you know, in real estate, that there's a 82% chance of failure in the first year. That's the statistic. And for me, I am healthcare background. Like my dream growing up was to be a doctor. My mom's an OBGYN. So I saw her, you know, that's how I got into healthcare. And I loved the sciences. And, you know, for me, again, I just didn't want to work a job that had that, you know, typical 9-to-5 environment. And I also wanted to have my older brother as a mentor. Like for me, that was it. Cause again, I shadowed him a bunch. I was touring his properties and, you know, I also wanted to be my own boss. I'm my own independent contractor for golf and real estate. So with the golf part, I don't work, you know, a set schedule. I'm able to choose what hours whenever I want. I have total unlimited flexibility. And that is what really, that's what got me to, you know, really join. I sat down and it was such a no-brainer. Because I remember this too, when I was playing Xbox with a bunch of my buddies, and they were like, dude, Jerome, if I were you, I would just join your older brother's real estate, because they see him on Instagram and stuff. They're like, dude, he's killing it. If I were you, I would join that in a heartbeat. And I'm sitting there, I'm like, dude, these guys are totally right. You know, I didn't even know what a real estate agent did at the time. I was just like, you know, I'm going to go ahead and just full speed ahead and totally commit to this. The second I bought that online real estate course, I never turned back. I didn't even think, you know, what do I do if I fail? There was no, absolutely no plan B for me. And, you know, the circumstances of how this all worked out were so amazing, because when I bought that course, I had nothing figured out.
Were you like committed that moment? Was it like you're listening to your friends on playing Xbox? Like, are you thinking like, okay, what are the challenges going to be trying to break into this industry? Or, yeah, I know I have a mentor, but like sometimes even I have an older brother as well, like working with an older brother, you know, there's pros and cons. We can make a list about that as well. Like that one moment where you click and you're in.
Yeah. I just did not want to, after that year off, it kind of backfired because it made me realize I do not want to go to school anymore. And I did, this is coming from someone who did very well in school. I graduated with a 3.76, you know, one of the top of my class, graduated with honors. And, you know, I just had full faith that I could do it. That was part of the mental component, you know. Again, yeah, I don't have any, zero accounting business experience, but I just, you know, I thought I can do it. And I didn't look back. I had no plan B. I didn't even have apartment or a side job figured out, but luckily things worked out. And I think to myself every day, I'm like, dude, how did I make this work? Like, I had nothing planned out. I had $1,500 in my bank account. The real estate course was $250. And again, I just somehow made it work.
Yeah. What do you think it is? Do you think that's something that anyone can do? Do you think there's something unique about you? Like, what's that mentality? You don't have a plan B, so you're jumping in kind of full in, you know, the water's going to be cold a little bit. Like, you're going to have to swim and figure it out. Like, but you're telling me the success rate is pretty low for the first year without that backup. What is it about you that overcame that? Or what was it, the mentality that was necessary for you in your industry of real estate, et cetera, to get to the place that you are today?
Well, a lot of the life lessons that I learned were from playing golf. And a lot of the things we're going to talk about transfers into both. So through golf, I knew that I could succeed at a high level. And I found that I perform better under pressure. Now, when I'm playing golf with my buddies and we're just messing around, I don't play as well, or I perform much better. You know, it's the state championship title, or it's, you know, really important match. And I just found myself, from there, I knew I perform well under pressure, and I knew it was going to be a massive challenge, but I knew I could do it.
What about your golf game was better under pressure?
You know, I found that I was able to really stay in my lane and block out a lot of the noise. With golf specifically, it's just one shot at a time. Like the night before a tournament or the day before, you know, their first tee shot, you can anticipate everything that can go wrong. But I think that's what makes golf so tough. I think it's more than 80% mental. It's one of the few sports out there where you have unlimited time to think in between shots, and the pressure can get really overwhelming. And again, I just learned from there how to block off all the noise. It's really easy to start doubting yourself too. In the business, my start was really slow. It took me over 16 months to land my first sale. I got licensed 9/11 of 2019. And again, 16 months later is when I landed my first sale. I got really unlucky in the fact that, you know, 9/11, that's when the market really starts to slow down. You know, now in this fall winter market, you know, real estate is cyclical. Okay, so it's already slow to begin with. I'm a fresh graduate from the University of Delaware. I'm still a broke college kid. I don't know anything about Philadelphia. I barely know what a real estate agent does. And on top of that, too, I have this legendary, ultra successful older brother. And that's where a lot of my stress was. You know, I was thinking to myself, how am I going to be able to perform and keep to his standards? Again, he is just like one of the best here in Philadelphia. But that, you know, really stressed me out in the beginning. And on top of that, too, the global pandemic did not help. I will never forget the date, March 17th of 2020. That's when all the shutdowns happened. And then after so many months of failure, I had a few people that were ready to buy. And then boom, Jerome, I just got laid off. What do I do? That was a lot of people for me. And during the shutdowns, we were not able to, you know, show vacant new construction properties. You know, how am I supposed to survive? I only had about 6 months of reserves. And I remember I saved up like 13 grand. And, you know, when you're a single young kid, like my expenses were at a minimum. You know, I was eating, you know, towards the end of that 6 month, you know, reserve, I'm like, you know, something's got to happen here. I had like 4,000 bucks in my name.
You're at that moment, right? Your savings are dwindling down. You talk about this because I think it's so overlooked a lot of times. Obviously, we can look at where you are now, but I think it's overlooked the 16 months that it took you to get there. Obviously, there were some environmental factors that played a role, but still, that's a challenge. So what's the mentality like? You're talking about, okay, my savings is going down. I'm starting to run out. I need to get these people in homes, right, to start earning my own living. You know, what's the mentality? Is it, okay, I need to click on, like, do I need to show more houses? Like, what did you do in that moment? What was the mentality like for you? And then what actions did you take, you know, when you were down, when you kind of were, the end was in sight potentially, and you were like, no, I'm going to keep fighting. So what was that like?
Yeah, so I just went into straight, when I did that accounting, I was like, all right, I have 4,600 bucks to my name, my rent's $600. And I just went to full on survival mode. I knew that the way you need to adapt. Okay. So how am I going to make money when we barely show properties and we're in this massive state of uncertainty? I mean, for a while I was eating peanut butter sandwiches for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, eating ramen noodles. How was I going to figure out a way to make money? I started my golf side hustle. I was started giving lessons at this local driving range. I charged like $100 an hour. So that was one way I was making ends meet. I started doing Uber at 4 a.m. I'd do Uber for a couple hours, you know, work my job in Delaware, and then drive back to Philadelphia to go to the office. And
you were somebody who was just like, I'm just going to make it. Like, I'm going to find ways.
Oh, absolutely. You know, it was either that or go back home, tell my friends and family, hey, I tried real estate. I utterly failed. And that, those emotions were so strong. I was going to do whatever it took to make it.
So tell us a little bit about that negotiation of self right there when you sort of portrayed that option. Like, door number one is success and peanut butter sandwiches three times a day and doing what it needs to be done versus sort of going home and telling everyone, I gave real estate a shot, but it didn't work out. What was that like for you? Was it a conscious choice? Did you have a particular moment? Like, do you have a memory of that?
Yeah, I calculated how much time I have left to make it until I completely ran out of zero. And again, I was waking up at 4 a.m. to do Uber. I absolutely hate getting up that early, and doing Uber was absolutely miserable. I had to do what I had to do to survive. It was like I to do or to succeed at a high level, I think it's all about doing the things you don't want to do. Like, you, this industry is not, you know, not everything's all like, it's really tough. Again, I was just going to do whatever it took to make ends meet. And, you know, somehow everything worked out.
Yeah, well, you say somehow, but I'm starting to get to know you a little bit. So I'm hearing this grinder mentality, right? I'm going to make this work. And I hear a little bit of, I'm just going to go in and try to figure it out. So you're curious, you're exploratory. But then you also talk a little bit about your analytical side too, of I'm going to look at my finances, I'm going to calculate, right? So you're looking at yourself now, but you're also looking at yourself in the future too. And I think that's a potent combination that you're talking through, a little bit of that curiosity, but also that grinding, but then the analytical side. All of these pieces are playing into a role. And I don't know if you recognize that, but I'm noticing these things as you kind of tell your story of how you got to place where you are. Because you're saying, oh, it's kind of lucky. Like, yeah, there's always like luck involved, but there's definitely a piece of you that needs to be created as part of that.
So one of the things that I did as well too is that, okay, so if the buying doesn't work out, I stuck to rental properties. That's how, what kept me alive during the shutdowns. And that's how I was, you know, I knew and I saw that during the, okay, first of all, who is going to buy a house when you can't even look at it? So I thought of it, you know, that was the main, one of the main objections that I was getting. Can get away with it. Certain developers build certain products. That just wasn't working out for me. But again, I stuck to the rentals. So the rentals, I even grew that. And that's half of my business right now. I think this year I've probably leased 80 to 90 properties, which during a time of uncertainty or even in, during a shifting market like it is right now, interest rates just doubled from 3.5 to 6 to 7. So the market is shifting from a straight seller's market to a buyer's market, which for me is great. Because I primarily work with buyers, investors, and then 1,000 renters. So again, for this shift, I think, you know, it benefits me because, you know, unlike my brother, who's a prolific seller's agent, he works with the most sophisticated developers in New York and this stuff. And it's, the market's down 35-50%. So again, I stuck to what I knew I could do. And it was a lot of smaller transactions. But again, that is how I adapted in that environment. And also too, again, you have to adapt. And when we were all stuck in home for a few months, what am I going to do? I'm not going to sit there and just, oh man, this sucks. Hopefully things can go back to normal very soon. You know, that wasn't for another year and a half. During the shutdowns, I focused more on my social media, you know, started to add value, you know, postings like first time home buyer grants. And I think I was well prepared because Keller Williams, which is the brokerage that I'm in, we were on Zoom like every day. We had these, you know, group sessions, you know, what are we going to do? How can we adapt to this? What's working? What's not going to work? And again, it's the education and culture, which really helped me out.
Yeah. And you talk about this adaptation. And now I'm curious a little bit. You said state championship, which makes me think maybe you were at that level. Talk to me a little bit about that golf game, you know, that you have. And you said you kind of pivot, use that as a side hustle. Was that something that, like, were you playing that your entire life? How'd you get into golf? And talk to me about that experience and maybe how that plays a role now in your life as well as that mentality. Because I think sports sometimes just brings out a different level because competition is just bred in to it.
So I started in sixth grade when I was 12 years old. I just moved from New York and I played baseball at a high level in New York. But when I moved to Delaware, I didn't know where the baseball fields were. So we visited my mom's med school classmate from the Philippines, and they lived on the golf course. And I was hooked from day one. I think one of my first rounds of golf, I got a hole in one. So I was addicted from day one. I was playing golf every day. Yeah, we won our high school team won 3 state championships, and I was asked to play at the University of Delaware Division I golf. I ended up denying that option to play just because I wanted to focus more on school. So two of my buddies from our state championship team played at Delaware. And, you know, this is a big commitment. So I'd ask them, you know, what do you think? How are you doing with school? And I think it was too overwhelming for them. And these are smart, smart kids. You know, one of them's a doctor. And, you know, he said, you know, it was too big of a time commitment. He said, if I didn't play, you know, I think my MCAT would have been way higher. You know, it was stressful, missing biology and chemistry, which are the two courses that they, as you know, in those freshman classes, they try to make it as hard as possible to really weed out who's not ready for that. And, you know, fortunately, you know, I listened. And again, it was really tough to say no, because that was my dream.
How do you make that choice? That's tough. Of like, I get to be a D1 athlete, right? That's got to be a tough decision.
Yeah. So again, I made, you know, pros and cons. And, you know, at the end of the day, I didn't want to join the team just because I got a fancy bag, nice clubs, and some, you know, some clothes and stuff. I already had that. But at the end of the day, I focused on the big picture. You know, what's going to help me more with my career? I'm not trying to be pro. I'm not trying to play on the PGA Tour, you know, at the time, but I just thought about it and it wasn't for me. So what I ended up doing is I stepped down from D1 and then I played club golf, which for me, which is a much better option. You know, it was like $75 a semester. You can play unlimited golf at the country club that was there. And, you know, they traveled as well. They did tournaments. Those people that I met at club golf or the club sports in general, you know, some of them are my clients now. So again, I kind of missed out on the D1 experience, but I met so many people. It worked out because, you know, I didn't necessarily use my degree, you know, with real estate, but again, all my connections and classmates and mutual friends are now all my clients.
Yeah. I mean, it's critical to make a choice for yourself. And I think when you have high stakes or there's pressure sometimes, or, you know, in different people in different circumstances in their lives, right? They have that on the table, they're going into it, but it might not necessarily set them up for their best success. And I think that's a challenging decision to make, that you're recognizing, okay, what can I jump from, right? What are my places where I can take leaps from? And also, when do I have to be calculated to set myself up best for success? And again, I think that goes back to that analytical mind a little bit for yourself, of you're kind of playing this chess game at times of how to set yourself in a best position. And I can imagine that then playing out in real estate. Is that accurate?
Yeah. And one of the things too is that, you know, what I attribute a lot of my success to in real estate is just the people that I surround myself with here. You know, business isn't, you know, it's not just me by myself trying to navigate this business. I have our entire team. I've got my brother. I just hired two assistants the past 6 months that helped me with this. And, you know, in school, they teach you, you know, if you work with other people, it's cheating. That was one of the things that I factored into my calculation when I decided not to, you know, go through with school. You know, in school, it's pretty much you and yourself, you know, and certain fields and like medicine, for example, some of them will not help other people. Like you're an undergrad and you're trying to apply for med school. I knew some people that would not help other people because that's one other person you have to compete with. Whereas, you know, I pretty much have unlimited resources here with real estate. You know, if I don't know the answer to something, I am half a phone call away from figuring it out. Or, you know, I can always seek the aid of other real estate agents. You know, with Keller Williams specifically, you can be a total rookie and, you know, all the education and, you know, a $40 million agent will go and talk to you. I mean, their time is very limited, but, you know, everyone was willing to help. And, you know, that's one of the things that I attribute to my success.
Jerome, we often say that life is a performance and there's an athlete in all of us. And I'm listening to you kind of go back and forth between golf and real estate. What are some of the skills that you think go hand in hand between the two?
Well, one of them is persistence. The toughest challenge for me with real estate is it took me forever to land my first sale. You know, there were times there when you can only go so long before when the negative thoughts start creeping in. You know, after X month of not selling anything, or, you know, it's really tough. Like, you really start to doubt yourself when that happens to you. I didn't think it was going to be so difficult. Like, I thought to myself, hey, you know, I'm a 3-time state champion and I graduated top of my class at University of Delaware. I can sell a few houses. And one of the things too, they tell you in real estate is like, you don't have to be the sharpest, brightest guy. You just have to outwork everyone. And I had full faith in myself that I could do this. I didn't care how long it was going to take me. I thought to myself, everyone was like, you know, we're no smarter than you guys. And as a matter of fact, half of the guys on my team and the brokerage, they barely even went to college or went to college. So a lot of the guys I knew dropped out, and everyone here is so young. They're in their 20s and they're making multiple six figures. And I thought to myself, again, if they can do it, so can I. So that was my thought going into it. And, you know, everything turned out all right.
Yeah, I think about you. I think about your brother. I hear about your mom a little bit. And it gets me thinking about like the age old question, like, is this nature versus nurture? Do you think it's, you know, just within your family, you guys are all high achievers? Or do you think there's something, you know, that you guys have experienced, that you guys have captured, and that other people really could take away from this? Because I think that's critical. You know, is this something that's just innate within your family? Or, you know, what are you guys tapping into that maybe others can?
So growing up, watching my mom work and struggle is definitely, I think that attributes to a lot of my success. So we were born in the Philippines. You know, I have a family. I have 4 other siblings. So there's 5 kids. And my mom is an OBGYN, probably one of the toughest, most stressful professions out there. I remember growing up, you know, in like 7th grade, I'd be playing Xbox till 3 a.m. And my mom would be like, all right, Jerome, just got called, got to do C-section. I'll see you at 6 o'clock to drop you and Francis off at the golf course. So when you see that type of work ethic and struggle, I think it's just innately transferred over to me. She did residency in the Philippines, you know, while she was pregnant with pretty much all of us. You know, in the Philippines at that time, the maximum they could keep you up without sleep was 48 hours. I just really learned this recently, but that's crazy. When we moved to the US, her residency did not count. She had to redo it. So again, residency, you are working a year straight. Again, when we moved to the US, we moved to Chicago. It didn't count. She had to do a year of research in Chicago. And our apartment in Chicago, there were 12 of us in a 3-bedroom apartment. It was the 5 siblings, mom, dad, my aunt, and then her grandparents. Those were tough times. But for me, I was so oblivious to it because I would think I was like 6. You know, I was just excited to see snow for the first time. And then she got accepted into residency again in Buffalo, New York. And that's another 4 years of residency. We're pretty much working for free 24/7. She said, oh, yeah, it was much easier in the United States. They're only allowed to keep you up 24 hours without sleep. It was much more difficult in the Philippines. I was like, my mom's a warrior. I've never heard her complain ever. And she has like the most stressful job. And, you know, I couldn't imagine what she goes through in a typical work day. It's just surgery, nonstop calls. She can barely even, you know, she could barely even, hey, mom, let's do Thanksgiving. Hey, I'm on call. Mom, want to do this for Christmas? No, I'm on call. So my mom was early role model for me. She was the one that inspired me to get into healthcare. And I think I got a lot of my grit and tenacity from her. By far.
She's amazing. Let's start with that. That's amazing. And hearing that story, you know, I'm talking about this nature versus nurture component, but you're witnessing this, right, at a young age, and you're seeing this. And not everybody has that model, right, for them to see and push. But I think the beauty of kind of podcasts and media now being used in the right way can be showing these stories that this is something that you can do, you can achieve. It does take a lot of hard work. You do have to kind of pursue and push yourself to be able to become successful, right? And you can take a leap of faith at times, and then put that grit in and work and figure it out. And I think that's a testament to your family. I think it's a testament to you as well of where you're at. Talk to me a little bit about, what are your goals? What are you looking for? Like, is there an end goal? Is there an end sight? Like, what is your direction that you're trying to head? Or is it just, you know, I'm going to surf the market as it rides up and down and try to be ahead of it as much as possible? Like, what's the goal for you in your career?
Yeah. So the goal now is to just keep continuing to grow. And I did not think that really any of this was possible. When my brother first asked me to join real estate, he's like, you know, I think I could get you to do, you know, six figures in 3 years. And now I just finished up the third year and I've done multiple six figures. And I didn't even think that was even remotely possible. Like when I first started, and you know, my first goal was to just be able to pay my bills. Now, you know, I just want to keep growing the business and, you know, keep the goal for me is to keep acquiring more assets. This year, this was the first, I really went heavy on the assets this year. I bought my first house. I closed in August, just purchased my first $1 million property. And then a few weeks ago, I closed on my second property. I'm going in on a rehab with my brother. We bought a shell at a great price. And I was with our GC at 10 a.m. this morning, and construction's already started. What else have I invested in? Bought some Bitcoin mining equipment. I bought some cars, which are, you know, sounds like a stupid purchase, but since they're over 6,000 pounds, I'm able to write off the full amount in year one. And bought some, I bought a few watches here and there. But again, this year was, you know, the year of the assets. And I just want to continue to grow that in the next few years.
Yeah. What are you trying to position yourself for with those assets? Like, is it more so just, you know, I'm hungry, I just want that growth. What's leading to that success? Or is it more so, you know, I want to hit a certain goal and then, you know, I'm out of the game.
Now, I want to be able to pass something down to my kids. At some point, you know, my parents, you know, were first generation. Unlike the people that I really grew up with, we didn't really have much growing up. The end goal is to be able to, you know, take care of my friends and family. I mean, that's my big why. One of the first things they tell you in real estate is that, what's your big why? Your why can't just be, I want to make a bunch of money. Because, you know, I don't think that's really powerful at all. Again, you know, I was just at Turks and Caicos last week for 5 days. My brother and I, we took our parents with us and paid for everything. And, you know, to be able to finally do that or pick up the bill or something like that, you know, it's great. I'm well past being able to pay my bills, but that's why I work so hard. I want to be able to be like, oh, mom and dad, you know, you don't have to worry about this anymore. Just because, you know, financially growing up, it was so tough. Again, there's five of us, you know, I have four other siblings. And when we were growing up, it was just a constant. My dad always, he constantly reminded us, like, hey, we can't do this. You can't afford that. It was just this. And he's old school. This is like a poor mindset that he had. And, you know, my brother and I, we wanted to escape that mindset. And that's why we work so hard.
Jerome, with all the obstacles that are out there in business and, you know, the way that you spoke of COVID, no one ever imagined the shutdown, the stay at home, the need for communication through Zoom, the way in which things change so drastically, as you're talking about your real estate, your future goals, for all of those high performers out there that are listening, what are your tips or strategies that you use personally to stay mentally fit?
I would say that I had to completely transform the person that I was in college to the person I am now. You really need to always adapt and grow and think of how you can be better from last month, this month. I would say to work on your habits. I really started to, again, you really need to analyze yourself and think of how you can improve. But in the beginning, I started to read more. I hated reading, in class, started to read more, start focusing on my fitness. Because in the beginning, I'm sitting there, I can barely work 40-hour weeks. And then you have my brother who's doing 80, 100 hours. And I knew that I had to start getting in shape and start going to the gym. And you know, that's part of my routine now. For me, if I can stay physically fit, it just helps the mental side for me. Because, you know, once I get that workout in, you know, part of my routine is I wake up 7 to 8, do 1 to 2 hours of as many, you know, emails, computer work as I can possibly do until I get, you know, sick and tired of it. And then I go to the gym. I go to the gym, do my workout. I hit the sauna for 10 minutes and then a cold plunge for 3. And then that is what keeps me, what I've found lately is what keeps me sharp and, you know, alert, gives me good energy during the day. So again, it's always trying to analyze, you know, what can I do well? What are things that I know I shouldn't be doing? You know, and lately, when I first got into the business, again, I really didn't know that many people, but in the first 2 years, I was going out a lot. You know, I'm like the youngest guy in the industry, and with all my friends, you know, the people I'm hanging out and was hanging out with, they're all like 30, 35. I was like, oh my God, these old guys, older successful guys, you know, this is success. This is what's going on. But I, you know, figured out after a year and year and a half of that, and I think that's part of, I think it was just maturing a little bit, because, you know, I very quickly realized that this group of people is not, you know, good for me. Like, I saw the same people over and over again. You know, it's really expensive to go to these clubs and tables. And, you know, at the end of the day, it felt like crap, you know, day after, you know, you've been drinking all night. And I quickly shut that down. You know, I find that every year and year, my circle gets smaller and smaller and smaller. And this is by design. You know, this is not just, but again, it's always figuring out what are the things you shouldn't be doing, what's good for you. And again, a lot of the success has been who I surround myself with. I think I saw a quote the other day. It was like, you know, if you hang out with 5 successful people, you will be the 6. If you hang out with 5, you know, millionaires, you'll be the 6. If you hang out with 5 bums, you will be the 6. And I'm living, breathing proof of that. Because how is it that in 2-3 years I got to where I am, and, you know, for the first year and a half I didn't sell anything and we were shut down again? So I just surrounded myself with better role models. You know, I start really just hanging out with my brother a lot more, because in the beginning he's such high level that he really couldn't even help me out. The first day, I'll never forget this. First day at the office, you know, I'm sitting there. I just finished my brokerage class. How do you schedule a showing online? And he's sitting there writing his check. And he's like, what the hell are you doing? Can't you see I'm busy right now? Go send me a calendar invite. We'll go out to lunch and maybe I'll get back. So that's just, again, my introduction to the business was very, very rough. I had to figure out a lot of things on my own. And again, yeah, my brother's this ultra successful agent, but he didn't, that's not just not him. He's not going to hand me any business. He made this very, very clear. Like, you're not getting one lead. I'll help you here and there, but, you know, a lot of this is on your own.
Yeah, I think that's helpful for people to hear, because I think when people hear your story, right, and they're like, oh, he got in, his brother's in there, like, that's where he came from, you know, that's how he got. But that's clearly not the case, right? And we've talked about this over and over again, your work ethic and everything that's gotten you to the place where you're at. And you telling that story, I think, is critical. And sharing, you know, I had to work for this. I had to find this. And one of the things I just want to jump back to, because I think it was such a great piece, was you were talking about the physical and you were talking about working out. But you were talking about it as your workout was your break. And a lot of times we talk about recovery, and I use recovery interchangeably with recharging, because I like to say you can have the best iPhone in the world. You could have the iPhone 17 right now, but if it has 0 battery, it's nothing, right? It's a paperweight, right? So your ability to recharge is critical. But I also say recharge because what you're doing is you're working out so you could work more. You're putting in this, I need to take care of myself so I can be my best self, so that I can go out and reap what I sow. I can continue to grind. I can continue to try to be my best. I think so many people say things are starting to get stressful, so I have to remove myself from it, right? Where you're doing almost the opposite of saying, no, I want to lean into the things, the areas in which I need to improve myself so that I can keep going, so that I keep my battery recharging faster, more efficiently, more effectively, so that I can continue to be effective. And then that compounded with, hey, I'm not getting a lot of handouts, but you're recognizing this and you had to do a significant grow up, a significant maturation between, you know, that college life and where you are today, that you kind of told that story. So I think that's a critical thing for people to hear.
Yeah. And I knew, had the exercise science background, you know, I studied the benefits of exercise for 4 years. I knew it's something that I needed to do eventually. And again, if I can stay physically fit, the mental side is easy. I don't have to think of the mental side as much. Again, the confidence is there. You know, in the beginning, one of the things that, you know, really stressed me out was that I'm a young agent. And on top of that, I look really young too. I still look like I'm 14 years old. You know, how am I going to convince X buyer who's probably way older than me to work with? You know, that was one of the fears and kind of objections that I had. But at the end of the day, it's all about knowledge and confidence. Now, if a buyer comes into my open house, you know, I know everything and anything about the neighborhood. I can tell you what is sold, what makes this a better product, how are the finishes different. Again, now you're in my world and I can talk and talk and talk. But again, it was just confidence and really navigating through the first year. But, you know, now it's there and I don't have to worry.
Jerome, define that confidence for us.
You know, now that I've done a bunch more transactions, like, I'll give you a great example. What kind of return am I going to get? Like, I deal with a lot more investors now. You know, is this product, you know, a good deal? Why is it a good deal? You know, what is it going to rent for? Like, for example, right now is just absolutely the perfect time to buy, just because, again, with the fall and winter market, there's not as many buyers. The higher interest rates have cut the amount of buyers even more. So you're able to negotiate a lower price during this time. You know, typically single family new construction in the spring market, if you're within 98-97% of that list price, that statistically is the number that you'll close on. But now in this shifting market, you can start off at 90%, 95% of the list price. And I have the confidence now, again, I do so many leasing that, hey, what is each unit going to get for? Oh, I leased three duplexes, multifamily around that. I can get you this number. Or when I'm speculating with my brother, you know, when we're analyzing a deal, after we buy the shell, we put X construction to it, what kind of rents are we going to get here? You know, for north of Washington, that's much better than this. So again, it's just more market knowledge, confidence. I don't have to worry much. Whereas before, I'm like, Francis, I really have no idea what I'm doing. And it's stressful. You're working with, you know, these investors and they're going to invest thousands, hundreds and thousands of dollars into this deal. It's like, you can't be wrong. And fortunately I've had great mentors and I haven't made any errors.
Yeah. I recently purchased my first home as well. And it really comes down to this trust factor. And you're talking about, like, you're trusting, they have to trust you, right? They have to put their trust in you. And so you almost have to show confidence for them as well. Because a lot of times, like, especially as new home buyer, there's a nervousness. I don't know what that experience is going to be like. There's a lot of uncertainty. And especially in the past market, like this past few years was just crazy, consistently putting in offers and it just getting, like, people going $25,000, $30,000 over asking, which is ridiculous. You know, that trust was critical. How do you build that trust?
Again, it's just from track record. Yeah, we're the young or some of the youngest guys in the industry, but we have the proven track record and stats, which allows us to speak so confidently. And even again, even if we don't have the track record, we have resources and other people that can help us. I'll give you a great example. So this developer asked me to rent out this 9-unit historical building and then eventually sell it. I agreed to renting it out. You know, I got all 9 units leased, but my brother's like, you know, this is like too big of a project. You know, it's $2.9 million listing. And the partners they're in litigation against each other and just arguing all the time. And my brother said, I mean, I don't want to take this listing, but we went ahead and did it. And we have to get the sellers to drop the price just because, you know, seasonality. We sought the aid of one of our mentors, Mike McCann, the real estate man. So he's our brand new business partner. Mike McCann has been the number one agent in Philadelphia since 1988. And, you know, as backup, we said, hey, Mike, we need some backup here because he has 30 years experience and he has the best reputation in the city. And, you know, my brother and I asked him to co-list this property. You know, long story short, he did his thing on the phone and we got our price drops. But again, he never even wanted to take on that listing, but we were able to, you know, seek aid from our business partner and really get that price down.
So how do people get in contact with you? How do people reach out if they want to, you know, buy in this market? Is it just the Philly market? Do you do more? Like, how do people get in contact with you if they want to kind of hire you or your team?
I'd say definitely reach out. I think social media is an easy way to stay in touch or just see, you know, what we're doing. You know, social media is one, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, everything. I'm on it. My Instagram handle is mini_mangs. And feel free to reach out. It can be any question, whether you're looking to buy, sell, invest. You know, if you're thinking of investing, again, it's never too early to have the initial conversation. You know, it's either invest in something or just have your savings getting eaten up by the 8.3% inflation. So again, Instagram. Shoot me an email at jerome@unlockteam.com. Reach out, send me a message, and I'll get right back to you.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Jerome.
Awesome. Thanks, guys. It was good chatting. Thanks for having me.